This is another episode of the Decoding Purpose podcast. My name is Rebecca Tapp, and in every episode of Decoding Purpose, we speak to humans of both influence and impact to explore how life's turning points help us to decode purpose and to ignite a more meaningful and purpose-driven life. Welcome to another episode of the Decoding Purpose podcast. Today, I am excited because whilst I pride myself on finding all sorts of inspiring people to interview for this podcast, it's really nice to be able to bring you a special guest from my inner circle, someone who also just happens to be one of Australia's most respected entrepreneurs and social entrepreneurs. Her name is Liz Volpe, and I can attest to the fact that her definition of being the best is found in being the best for those that she serves, and there are thousands. Funnily enough, unlike so many of my other business friends, I didn't actually meet Liz through any business dealings. My aunt actually introduced us after they did a few dancing classes together, and it couldn't have been at a better time for me because I was just starting out on my entrepreneurial journey, and anyone knows who started a business just how much courage is needed in those early days. You know, I think back to that time because the inspiration and the guidance that Liz offered me is exactly how she treats everyone who dares to dream, who comes to her with a big idea. She's just one of those special people who believe in the power of humankind and human hearts, especially the hearts and dreams of young people. And let's face it, it's young people who need our focus because our planet needs their dreams more than ever, and they need the skills to make them happen. And this is where Liz's purpose comes in, because she's the founder of Project Gen Z, who are on a mission to inspire, educate, and activate the next generation of world changers. And the Project Gen Z community do this, running workshops in entrepreneurial thinking, which are hosted by entrepreneurs themselves. So Project Gen Z is literally an entrepreneurial community, and they are running these workshops all over the world, well, I guess virtually at the moment, in addition to selling an amazing range of products at the Dare to Dream shop to support kids and teenagers in pursuing their dreams of running a business. On a side note, the Project Gen Z entrepreneurial community via social impact trips up until last year have raised over $500,000 for charity partners, especially Sunrise in Cambodia, who are doing some incredible work. In addition to that, Liz is also the co-founder of the League of Extraordinary Women, a hugely successful networking group for female entrepreneurs, and she is the CEO and co-founder of Ambezi. And Ambezi are a purpose-driven platform of shared stories, inspiring the next generation to find and pursue their passion. So as you can hear, Liz has, in every sense of the word, dared to dream to change the world and continues to do so during a time where the world needs her and more people like her more than ever. With that in mind, kick back and get ready for a serious dose of inspiration from a woman who, in every sense of the word, is wholeheartedly embodying her purpose on this planet. Welcome to the Decoding Purpose podcast. Welcome to the Decoding Purpose podcast. Liz Volpe, it is such an honor to finally have you on the podcast with me. As one of my dearest friends and sisters, I feel like this episode has been a long time coming.
It has, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
You are so welcome. So look, let's dive straight in because there is so much that we can talk about when it comes to purpose. And, you know, look, I think it's fair to say that 2020 has been a year where nearly everything that we thought was true about the world has in many ways been turned completely upside down. And I know that both you and I had some pretty epic plans for 2020. Yes, I think every entrepreneur is like, uh-huh. But nonetheless, you know, when change happens, so do we. And with that in mind, how has 2020 connected you with your purpose personally, professionally, or on a planetary level?
Wow, what a great question. I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, I feel like the Liz that you're speaking to today is completely different to the Liz that was here in the very beginning of 2020 with the great plans that I had at that point. I feel like, you know, the changes that have actually happened have been absolutely incredible for me and for my purpose. And I feel like, if anything, although the plans have changed, I feel actually closer to my impact and purpose, which is really exciting.
Awesome. And so how has that manifested for you in terms of your day-to-day?
Yeah, so I'll kind of go back to this big, great plan that I had at the beginning of the year. You know, my plan has always been to impact the next generation by, you know, inspiring them and impacting them with entrepreneurial skills and connecting them with really great people. And I've been on this incredible last few years of journey, actually, you know, working towards that goal. And at the beginning of this year, I was so excited because I looked at my calendar and nearly every single week for the entire year, I had different schools across Australia booked in my calendar for us to actually go and visit and run workshops for. And that was really exciting for me because every single workshop allows me to, you know, have an impact on at least 100 young people. So I was kind of like, woo, ticking off the goals. This is great. And then obviously early on in March, COVID happened. And every single school cancelled. So for me, I went through this huge kind of breakdown. Oh my goodness, well, this hard work, you know, I've been working towards this goal. What am I going to do? And it really kind of put my back against the wall and really made me go back to the drawing board on, okay, well, my goal and my impact goal, my purpose and my passion, that doesn't change. It doesn't matter how I get in front of these young people, you know, whether it be running a workshop or digitally. And I have always realized that to really have the biggest amount of impact, digital and doing it online is the way forward. So if anything, when COVID happened, it forced me to make that happen a lot faster. So since then, that's kind of what I've been doing. I've been looking at, well, how do I connect with young people globally on a much bigger scale to have that same impact?
Gosh, I think there's so much to learn about purpose in what you're talking about there because, you know, I think maybe before COVID, a lot of people might have thought this about purpose. And I know I had a lot of conversations that it was kind of this unwavering anchor that never changes. And I think there in some part that's true, but there's also parts of our purpose that evolve when the environment changes. Mm. And you spoke directly to that the core of your purpose, the DNA didn't change, which was really about showing up for young people and inspiring and educating and activating the next generation of world changers. But it did evolve. The mechanism for your purpose did change when the environment changed. And I think that's such an important lesson we can all take forward because the one thing that we can rely on is that there will always be change.
That's right. I mean, as long as you have that strong why, the only thing really that changes is the how, you know, the how can I actually do this? And I think, yeah, that the journey this year has really been around that. And it's great to kind of, as an entrepreneur, to have that back against the wall to really think about and adapt to changes, you know, to continue connecting with that purpose and to make sure that you're working really smart to kind of keep going on the journey.
Mm. So Liz, let's talk about that journey. You and I met, it was about 5 years ago now. And when I reflect on all of your personal attributes, I think what really stands out for me is that you have this kind of childlike exuberance and energy that you share with the world. Like your energy is infectious and you're one of these people who, you know, in simply being around you and in your presence, you seem to have this ability to make other people feel like anything is possible, any dream is possible, and just get out there and go do it and go make it happen. And you've certainly done that for me in my entrepreneurial journey. So I'm curious.
Thank you.
Oh, look, well, it's true. It absolutely is true. I'm wondering, though, I'm really curious, were you born with this energy, or is it a quality that you intentionally chose to harness and share in the world?
Oh, wow. That's such a good question. I think there's a yes and no answer to this. The one thing that I definitely know about myself is that I can be incredibly passionate. So when I really connect to something that I believe in, you know, you'll hear the change in my voice. Like, I'll get more excited. I'll start speaking faster.
I've been on the end of a few of your light bulb moments, and I'm like jumping off the phone. Liz is in flow.
Yeah, you know, it comes, that energy kind of sweeps through me, and when I'm really connected to something. So yeah, it's always been there. I guess I've learned to actually harness it and use that energy to create outcomes. I think that's what I'd say. And the way that I learned that was in the early days, since I can remember, from leaving school, really. I always did some type of work in customer service or sales. And believe it or not, that learning how to communicate and to sell an idea and to, you know, get someone on board with and make them as passionate as you is something that I have been trained in as well. So when you've been trained in something, you can make someone passionate, but when then you connect that passion to your purpose, obviously you get a really authentic amount of energy to drive and to tell people your ideas.
And what is it about inspiring other people to fulfill their purpose and to live their dreams? What about that lights a fire for you?
Yeah, it's something that I still go back to myself and ask myself. And there's really only a simple answer, I feel, why I've ended up doing this. And that is, like most of us, I've reconnected with something that I felt was missing in my life as a young girl. Mm. You know, I talk a lot about the fact that when I went through school, I was one of those, I guess, mediocre students. I actually really liked school, and I really, really had this hunger to do well. But I never really found anything that I particularly liked, and I was actually never really that good at anything in particular. So, you know, it would have been extremely hard for me to, you know, get A's in my subjects, as an example. I wasn't that academic. And because I wasn't that academic, unfortunately, I went through school really not having the confidence in myself and not really feeling like there was any type of opportunity that I really wanted after school. You know, and jump forward a few years after that, I got into business and suddenly connected with the strength I had inside to be successful. And I realized that, wow, there must be so many young people out there that don't fit into the mold of being an academic in school. You know, and we should be speaking to those people, those creative, these talented young people that we're completely missing, and actually building that confidence and making sure that they know that there is a path for them out there. And that's really how my passion and purpose kind of start, I guess my hunger towards making this happen started, because I wanted to get other people, other young people, to avoid that pain that I felt going through school and leaving school without direction.
Look, it's such an important conversation to have. And even for me, in hearing you speak about this and reflecting on our network and our friends who are entrepreneurs, so many of them actually came from quite troubled backgrounds, or they were like the naughty kids, or had that kind of, they were the misfits and those who had that kind of rebellious streak. And I know I was one of those people. And I think it's true that when you don't fit a certain mold and there's no other pathway for you to pioneer, or people aren't there empowering you to see those other options, that you then, it's easy then to become lost. So, you know, I really resonate with what you're talking about. And again, I think it's such an important conversation for both students and teachers to be having today.
That's right. I mean, especially even during this time period now, I'm sure there's so many thousands and thousands of students that are completely disengaged right now, through the COVID period or through home learning, and then even more disengaged being at school in their normal school routine. And it's just a really big shame that I guess schools are adapting faster and being able to kind of tap into that that passion in young people and really kind of direct them in the right way.
Now, Liz, as you may or may not know, this season of the podcast is focused on unlocking turning points. And the reason for that is because I have found these turning points, whether it be by choice or in many cases through crisis, really do act as the catalyst for purpose and for the creation of a purpose-driven life. Now, in your journey, you basically went from being a young girl who had fled the UK and landed in Australia with literally nothing but a backpack to go on to become really one of Australia's most prominent entrepreneurs. Now, when you reflect on your journey, do you remember any key moments, or I mean, there may even be several turning points that acted as the catalyst to propel you into becoming the incredible woman that you are today?
Well, that's a nice bit of an introduction on me there. Thank you, Beck. I mean, there absolutely are. I mean, there's two really key turning points for me that I feel kind of with the dot to dot, the dots that joined the dots, if that makes sense. And that I look back on now and go, wow, those two points in my life changed absolutely everything for me and led me to this point. The first point was actually really, really early on in my career when, you know, I was still really young and I'd got to Australia and I started for the first time in my entire life, I started to dream about maybe what my future could look like. And I don't really know how that came about because I'd never really been told that I should actually really plan or set goals or think about the future. But that's what I found myself doing. And I went through this incredible period where, not even a period, it was a 2 hours where I actually locked myself in my bedroom, turned off my phone, told everyone to leave me alone. And for the first time in my entire life, I dared myself to dream as big as I possibly could. And this was a really interesting learning experience for me. You know, the first things that were the really kind of shallow goals that came to my head, you know, I really want that nice car. I'd love a house next to the beach. And then I challenged myself to go a lot deeper and a lot further with that. And I realized that I had this horrendous negative little person that sat on my shoulder that constantly told me that I couldn't do it and I wasn't good enough. And I realized at that point there that I had to be aware of that self-talk. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. The inner mean girl. But at the same time, during that period, I pushed myself through and past that inner mean girl and just wrote down these crazy big goals. And that was a huge turning point because for the first time in my life, I had a vision to work towards. I had no idea how I would make those dreams happen, but it was always there. I was looking at those goals and that vision board every day. And from there, I started to make my decisions very differently from that point on. So that was one big turning point.
And the vision board worked because I believe that you're sat in a beautiful beach house right now as we speak.
Yes, it did. It did work. Yeah. I mean, that's what's crazy. I mean, I teach a lot of people how to do vision boards now. And you know what's crazy is the amount of things that I've made happen, you know, from all those years ago when I first did that dream exercise is crazy.
And the power of vision boards, that's a whole nother conversation for another podcast because I'm sure we could easily go down that tangent. Tell me about the other turning point.
Yes, I mean, the one that you'll know very, very well. Wow. So just to set the scene, at this point in my life, I'd been running my own marketing company for 10 years. I was actually down on paper, extremely successful. I had the money that I'd always wanted to have in my life. And, you know, life should have been really, really great for me. I found myself on this really crazy random trip to Cambodia. Now, I'd never, ever been to a country like Cambodia before, so it was a really eye-opening experience. But one particular morning changed my life moving forward, and that was a trip to the incredible Sunrise Cambodia, which is a not-for-profit organization run by the amazing Geraldine Cox, who is an Australian lady. And during this visit, I met all of these children from all different walks of life. you know, kids that have been rescued from begging circles, child prostitution, orphans, you name it, there were kids actually there that had been rescued by Sunrise. And wow, it completely changed my life. I remember speaking to one girl called Wow, and Wow had a horrendous history and background, yet she was amazing. You know, she had this incredible energy, the potential just oozed from her. And I almost imagined, wow, if I could take Wow out of Cambodia and drop her into another Western country, she would be really successful. So I left Cambodia, and I guess my life was never, ever the same again. At that particular point in my life, I connected to something so deep, this connection to Cambodia I'd never, ever felt before, where every single day for about 5 years, I explain it that I woke up every morning with an itch that I just could not scratch. Like I wanted to do something so bad to get back there.
Where was that itch? And to give you context, I don't mean physically, but people often, you know, I talk a lot about turning points, which is the theme we're exploring in this podcast. And I mentioned before, sometimes they happen by choice, but often they happen in crisis. And I've had a few people ask me, well, does it have to be crisis? And my answer to that is always, well, no, it doesn't always have to be crisis. Sometimes it's just about holding someone else's hand in crisis, or being immersed in someone else's world and taking yourself to the edge of an environment you might not have otherwise been exposed to. And in your case, that was Cambodia. And that sometimes in doing that, something will happen where our hearts will become broken open, is the best way I can put it. So when I ask, to give you the context, when I'm saying, well, where was that itch? Was it a logical thing, or was it just like your heart literally stayed broken open and you couldn't shake it off?
Oh, wow. As you speaking to me then, I can feel it in my heart, you know, that it was absolutely so deep in my heart and soul. There was no way that I could ignore it. It was that simple. You know, I'd never felt that amount of depth and change and need and want to do something ever before. And it was all from my heart.
It was like this embodied feeling. And I think it's so important to connect with that, because I don't think you can think purpose into being. It's something that comes from that place of resonance that you're talking about.
And I guess that's how you know you've found your purpose, you know, that feeling that is so different to anything you've ever felt before. You know, how can you ignore it? And I guess moving forward from there, you know, if someone would have told me years earlier, you know, you're going to build this social enterprise and you're going to actually build a workshop series and run it in Cambodia, there would have been a million doubts and no's and excuses that would have come into my head, because it would have been way too hard. Yet the depth of the feeling I had in my heart made absolutely anything possible. I just knew I could do anything because the feeling was so strong.
And look, I have a lot more, like a few more questions about Project Gen Z, obviously, because there is so much to talk about there. But before diving into that, I want to jump back before we go forward. And I want to talk about a little group that you started with a few co-founders back some 9 years ago by the name of the League of Extraordinary Women. Now, today, that little group of women consists of thousands of female entrepreneurs. So when you think back to those early days, can you tell me about the story of how the league started, and tell me a little bit about what motivated you, Cheryl, Sarah and Marie to start the league?
Yeah, I mean, and this was one of the things on my dream board, believe it or not, in that exercise that I did, you know, feeling this pain of feeling really alone as a female, especially in business. Being surrounded by role models, all male role models, and feeling, again, that feeling of being out of place. I guess that's really kind of what was my, I guess, initial feeling and working towards the league actually taking place. But for me personally, yeah, I was going through a time where I was, again, not feeling really that happy with my business. And I was out there and I was really trying to educate myself. In fact, I was on a journey to search for my purpose. And at the time, I had no idea how to do that. But I found myself in an educational kind of entrepreneurial workshop I thought if I learned, maybe I would get that inspiration to keep building my business. And I remember walking into the back of this room of 500 people and being really surprised because I just could not see the back of any female heads. And I think I spotted a couple of heads with long hair and decided in the break time to go and hunt those ladies out. And those three ladies that were sat in the crowd happened to be Marie, Cheryl and Sarah, who are my co-founders. And at the time we sat there and I guess we opened up and were just incredibly vulnerable, which I love so much about females. We shared what we were finding really hard. We shared that struggle of being around men, and we shared, I guess, the differences and how we deal with different situations. So this was an exciting kind of first meeting for us all. And we're like, wow, there must be other female founders out there that feel the same as us. So we decided just to put together an event on Facebook, and we went down to a local bar in Melbourne and booked a table for 12. And our goal was to hunt down, a few of the founders to come and join us for a few glasses of wine. And literally within 2 weeks, we didn't just sell out tickets for our little table. We actually filled the entire venue and sold 180 tickets for our first ever mistake event, which then happened to turn into the League of Extraordinary Women.
I think you found your purpose.
Yes. As crazy as it sounds, yeah. I mean, and this is kind of what purpose does. It just rolls into your life and it's got a life of its own. Find yourself there.
It does. And I'm sure my regular listeners would have heard me say this 1,000 times, but when you show up for your purpose shows up for you. And what you're talking about there is, brings that to life in so many ways, because who could have guessed you would have had that many women in that room?
I know. I mean, it was mind-blowing. The best feeling of being so connected to all of these amazing women that at the time had come out from their, behind their desks, behind their houses. This was a long time ago now, before, I guess, we celebrated females in business or female entrepreneurs. So it was a really incredible point in our lives.
And look, this is a great segue to my next question, because given you are the co-founder of the League, I'm sure over your time you've surrounded yourself with some of the most incredible and most successful female entrepreneurs. And I'm really interested to understand what you have observed about these women, because, I think it's easy to equate success with male principles, i.e., if I put on my power suit and I do business like a man, I say that with quote unquote, because I realize I'm being very generalized in saying that, but that if we do that and we play a bigger game, that's going to lead to more success. However, what I have noticed, and I'm interested to understand your insights into this, is that a lot of the really successful women I know are actually leading through emotional intelligence and intuition and empathy. I'm curious to know, what have you specifically noticed about women who achieve success in business?
Because it is so different. And I think, you did take the words out of my mouth there.
Yeah.
I feel that women have this strength that comes from the heart, and we have this strength that we can tap into empathy and understanding and this intuition that guides our decision making and allows us to connect really openly with the people around us. And I've witnessed that over and over again with the females around me. Just this understanding, this greater understanding to the world. And this, I guess this understanding that we don't have to go out there and be aggressive to be successful. We don't need to go and hustle hard to make $1 million. We actually have to connect to our purpose and ask ourselves the right questions. And we will be guided there. And I love working with women for that reason.
It's almost like if we can truly anchor in all of the qualities that we naturally have as women, that we're then able to step into our flow and allow the energy to do the work, rather than, I call it, it's about enabling life force rather than forcing life, if that makes sense.
Yes. Definitely.
Now, I want to hear all about Project Gen Z, which you founded in 2015 as a community of entrepreneurs who, through Project Gen Z, have not only inspired, educated, and activated a whole group of incredible young world changers, but who have also collectively raised more than $500,000 for charity partners. Can you tell me a little bit more about the work of Project Gen Z, with a focus on how this fuels your purpose, which, you know, you've shared a few insights into that already today, but talk to me about the impact and the influence you have in it.
Yeah. I mean, look, as soon as I'd worked out that purpose and had this huge feeling that I needed to work with young people, the dots all connected really quickly for me. You know, as I mentioned, growing up, I wasn't really that good at anything. But in my younger years, the one thing I did find myself being good at was running and launching businesses. I was an entrepreneur. And I looked around me at that point in my life and realized I was surrounded by the most amazing people. You know, all that also had this urge to really go and make a difference in the world. So, you know, it started with that dream of going, well, you know, imagine if I could put together this and build this movement of really passionate entrepreneurs that want to give back. You know, imagine how many young people we could have an impact on. And from that point on, yeah, we started to launch workshops working with the young people in Cambodia. And then moved on to launching workshops and education around Australia as well. Excuse me. So since then, we've been basically giving young people this opportunity to tap into their purpose and passion and explore the things that they don't necessarily explore at school, and learn, you know, these skills that are proven that they're going to need after school, you know, these 21st century soft skills. That all kids should be learning. And that's, I guess, now how we connect all of the dots together and form this great, incredibly passionate movement of people that are all out there helping Project Gen Z to, you know, create that impact.
Yeah, and what I want to say is, as a member of the Project Gen Z community, As much as the work is about epic social impact, it's also about the community of people, the community of students and the entrepreneurs. And, you know, interestingly enough, ever since I went to Cambodia, I think in 2015 with Project Gen Z, the network, which I can now say is our network and has become my tribe in many ways, I can only liken to family, because there's this deep trust and this camaraderie within the Project Gen Z group that I've not really found in any other networking group or in any other community. I want to ask you, was that intentional? And if so, in your opinion, how do we build purpose-driven tribes in business with the kind of loyalty and the magic that's found within the Project Gen Z community?
I don't ever remember a time that I sat down and wrote down, you know, exactly the type of person necessarily that I wanted to attract to the tribe. You know, but I'm a big believer that tribe is energy. So once I'd connected to that purpose and I started to tell every living soul that I knew at that particular time, these huge goals that I had to work with young people in Cambodia and around Australia and the world, people were naturally kind of started to come along for the ride. And over the years, I gradually started to realize that there were definitely some people that didn't necessarily fit in that tribe, but at the same time, there were a lot of people that did. And I feel like more than anything, I was purely the driver of a bus where all of these people would literally just jump on the bus to kind of come along for the ride to see what happened, and
I'm
had a lot of fun doing it.
Of us all being on the bus in Cambodia at the moment.
Yes. So it was, yeah, no, it wasn't intentional, but at the same time, you know, like they say, your vibe attracts your tribe. That's exactly what happened with Project Gen Z. And we're all, I guess, these risk takers, that entrepreneurial mindset. We love having fun, but we also, you know, connect with that passion to make a difference.
And I think in hearing you talk, whilst you might not have created, you know, the entrepreneurial avatar for Project Gen Z, you were very intentional about the energy of that tribe. And yes. And like I said, I still to this day, even though it's been 5 years since that trip, always blown over by the generosity. Like, I can call any member of the Project Gen Z community and they'll come on this podcast, they'll answer a question, they'll, you know, we've really got each other's backs. And that's something that's so rare and so beautiful and comes from such a genuine and authentic place within the community. And it's a credit to you, Liz Volpe.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I feel so lucky to just have, you know, yourself and all of these amazing people that kind of, you know, I guess believe in my crazy dreams and come along for that ride. It really is magic.
Mm. So Liz, being the serial entrepreneur that you are, alongside Project Gen Z, you have also co-founded a tech platform by the name of Ambezi. And Ambezi have also been a very proud partner to this podcast. So we've had a beautiful partnership there for a while. To explain to our listeners, Ambezi connects inspirational, talented and skilled people to schools and students so that they can share their stories. Can you talk to me a little bit about A, the work of Ambezi, but the power of storytelling to change the world? Why is narrative the vehicle for epic social change?
Wow. I mean, I feel that storytelling is everything. You know, one thing that I've learned over the years is that the best stories come from those people that never, ever share them, if that makes sense. You know, they don't even feel like they've got a good story to share. And it's not the Richard Bransons or the Steve Jobs. It's that person that lives next door that has been doing something and has overcome big challenges and has changed their career suddenly or has overcome something really crazy that have these stories. If they shared them, can make such a difference in the world. And I guess that's what Ambezi was really all about. It was asking anyone, you know, anyone that has a story, or maybe we had to persuade people they had a story. We wanted to basically bring on people that were brave enough to share their story with the next generation. We wanted the next generation to hear those messages that, again, they don't necessarily get at school, like, you don't have to know what you want to do for the rest of your life. You know,
yeah.
It's okay if you're not that confident now, you can get confident. And this is my story.
Mm.
And I love storytelling. You know, the name Ambezi comes from this old tribal South African word, which is regarding ambition, and it's all around the elders of a community passing down the stories to the young. And I feel like somewhere along the line in Western communities, we've stopped that sense of storytelling.
Mm.
And it's so powerful in creating, I guess, guidance for young people. And that's really what Ambezi is kind of there to encompass, is that storytelling is really important. It will support our young people and inspire them to really go on and live their life in a different way.
And I think this is also a really important message for parents, as much as it's an important message for those of you out there who want to be a part of the Ambezi tribe and share business stories. It's important. But just thinking about this idea of passing on stories to the next generation, that so much of our role as parents is to not only pass down stories of our experience or our ancestry, but to also pass on the stories that a child will take on about themselves that's going to determine their ability to change the world or to live their dreams. Because ultimately, the most powerful influence we have is helping that child to basically overcome that inner mean girl or inner mean boy and to program their own story about who they are in the world in a positive and an inspiring way so that they can believe they can do anything.
Yeah, that's right. And I feel as parents, we don't really know how to go about that as such. You know, and I see this quite often. I get lots of parents say this to me. A lot of parents rely on this type of stuff coming from school, when there's actually a lot of things from a really young age you can do as a parent to really drill those great stories and messages in, you know, to young children especially. And some, you know, simple things that you can do. So as an example, I have a 4 and a 7-year-old. And sometimes I'll hear them coming out with something really negative about themselves. It could be something that, you know, they've been called a name at childcare or come back and they've been called a name at school. And each time we hear them say something that might not be the best, you know, from that inner mean girl or boy, we make them automatically say five things they love about themselves. So it makes them really think about the things that they're saying.
Good, positivity, you know. Positivity hack.
That's right. You know, or and sharing stories so they get an understanding around, you know, their inner dialogue and, you know, all the amazing things that we can teach young kids. But I feel like storytelling should definitely come from parents as well as teachers.
Absolutely. I mean, when you consider that their little brains are like Play-Doh and they're so malleable, the power we have to influence that through doing something simple like a positivity hack, like the example you just used, is something that will profoundly influence their entire life. So it seems like such a simple thing, but it is such an important thing to be aware of and conscious of. So Liz, we started the podcast today talking about the impact of 2020, and one of the things that has become evident for more reasons than one is the importance of adaptability. And, you know, it's something that I've seen nearly every entrepreneur that I know fully embrace this year. With that in mind, how has adaptability played out in your world during 2020? We spoke at the beginning about how you've pivoted to online, online services in terms of fulfilling your purpose. But what exactly does that look like? What new products have emerged?
Yeah, lots. But I guess the first place I started after being devastated when all of the schools cancelled was, well, you know, I still know that I need to get this education out there. So whether or not I can go into the schools to do that, there's always got to be a way. So I started by really simply building the education and the workshops, the Dare to Dream workshops I normally run, into very simple digital and downloadable workbooks that can be downloaded by a teacher or even a parent that can take kids as young as 6 all the way through to 18 through a range of different challenges and educational learning and fun to actually allow their kids to you know, build resilience and to learn about business and to get the soft skills, again, that I mentioned earlier that are proven that are really important for the future. So it started off by me building programs, and I built more and more and more because I got more and more excited. And then in the end, adapted completely. And only a few weeks ago now, I actually launched the daretodreamshop.com, which is now this one-stop shop for parents and teachers to inspire and educate kids and teens. And my goal with that is to basically, get that global following of parents and teachers that understand the importance and educate them on the importance of this type of education and have this place that anyone can turn to, you know, if they've got a young child or a teenager that isn't disengaged at school or is doubting themselves or, you know, needs to find that resilience to dig deep or wants to find that thing to do after school. It's that place where anyone can turn to get any of that stuff. Mm.
And look, to our last point, I love that you're making it easy for parents to really create that positive purpose-driven influence that we were talking about before by providing them the resources and the tools to make it happen. How awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some amazing feedback because, again, parents sometimes we are really busy and we don't know where to start. Mm. So I just wanted it to be that shop where parents can go with a problem, you know, with a problem that they wanted, and we can fix it really quickly for them and help, I guess, them support their children to thrive in the future.
Now, I know that you used one of these kits to start a small business with your 7-year-old. Can you talk to me about the practical side of that? How did the process play out? What challenges did you face? What worked? Let us in on how this works in terms of the hands-on process of getting a 7-year-old to start a business.
All right. Well, this was an interesting story. I mean, I'd already built a small workbook called Launchpad, and there's two versions of Launchpad, one for 6 to 12-year-olds and then a teenage version. And, you know, I've been homeschooling. We're here in Melbourne, and my little boy, Cruz, just does not like school. He, again, he's definitely a misfit. He finds it really hard to write. He doesn't like reading. He has got basically, it's been a struggle every single day to engage him. And on top of that, I'm his mum, but I'm not his teacher. And he points that out all the time. I'm a really bad teacher. So at first I was getting really frustrated. I was feeling like a terrible mum. I cried a few times to my husband saying, you know, Cruzy's going to be really behind because I can't find something that's working with him here. And I think I put a lot of pressure on myself because this is the business I'm in, you know, trying to engage kids.
Yeah.
So I guess I realized one day, well, wait a minute. I'm actually trying to engage him with the work that I don't believe in. I'm going to actually try something completely different, and I'm going to see if he'll follow one of the programs that I've built. You know, there's no better way for me to test if this actually works. So yeah, I decided one day to sit with him and to open my Launchpad book. And Launchpad is basically this incredible workbook that takes kids through the first challenge of figuring out, well, what do they actually really, really like? You know, what do they love to do? If they could wake up every morning and choose one thing to do, what would it be? And straight away, I guess I got his mind churning. He was smiling. He was talking about Beyblades and Pokemon and, you know, Lego and all of these things that he's never really allowed to talk about because he's got to learn things. And then I got him to write those down. So writing normally is a challenge. He wrote these down really enthusiastically. And then from there, I started to explore this idea with him. But imagine if we could build a business around, you know, something that you love to do. And that kind of went on from there. And that's what Launchpad, the workbook, does. It then kind of takes kids through this journey of looking at, well, what could this business look like? Let's design a logo for it. Let's design a business plan. How is the money going to work? And it's this one-stop kind of booklet that takes them through from the idea all the way through to the launch of a business. And I must say, Cruz absolutely loved it. And he developed his own little online shop called Cool and Cruzy, which sells boys' toys.
How's it going?
You know what? We haven't actually officially launched it yet. we decided to drop ship because, number one, we've got nowhere in this house to keep lots more products on top of my shop. So we've just actually found a dropshipper that dropships worldwide that, you know, is good quality. So we're kind of just moving on to that next stage, ready for launch now.
Oh, do you know, when I saw this playing out on social media, it made me like feel this level of excitement. Now, as you know, my little girl Tiger Lily is only two, but a part of me was like, I can't wait to start a business with Tiger Lily. Like, what an exciting thing to do with your child, just as a bonding activity as much as anything else. So, you know, it's I can't wait. Amazing. I mean, she's going to grow up quickly, so I don't want to, you know, speed that up too much, but I'm like, oh, that'll be the best.
And you know what? I think a lot of parents would never dream of doing something like that because they don't run a business and they have no idea where to start. Mm. So these programs are designed where, you know, as a parent, you can sit down with your child and everything is there, a step-by-step guide. You don't need to know anything, you know, so you can do it together. And it is a fun learning activity where both the adult and the child will learn and come out with things at the end of it.
Awesome. Now, Liz, I think, you know, it's clear that anyone listening to today's podcast would agree with me in saying that you're clearly on purpose in your work, inspiring the next generation of world changers. And with that in mind, I'm curious to know if you found yourself in a situation where you were in a room of, say, I don't know, 20 of the world's brightest teen entrepreneurs, full of hope and aspiration. What would be the one gift or superpower that you would want them to know about?
Oh, honestly, it really around having that big dream and that vision. I think it stops so many of us, you know, limiting beliefs or feeling like we can't go out there and change the world or do these incredible, huge things. So I always feel like the best piece of advice or anything I can share with anyone is go back to the drawing board and invest time in really thinking about those big dreams. And no matter how successful you are, or, you know, whether you're 10 or you're 40, it's never too late to go back to the drawing board and do that. And I mean, young people out there should be taught to do that as young as possible.
Totally.
because they do have the power to change the world. And if we can support them to do that, imagine how many incredible changes we would see.
Mm. Yeah, I always say the decision's in the vision, because if you can't see it, you can't choose it.
Yes.
So, Liz, I'm now up to my final segment on this podcast, and it's a brand new little series that I'm calling Shots of Purpose. And these are five rapid-fire questions designed to unlock your experience of purpose in the present moment. So are you ready?
Oh, the pressure.
The pressure. Okay. She's in the pressure cooker. Here we go. Name one emotion that feels like purpose.
Love.
What recently moved you so much that you either welled up with emotion or shed a tear?
A few weeks ago, I interviewed a young boy who started a business at 6 years old called Corey and founded a company called Mr. Corey's Cookies. And I sat and listened to his story, and I had never, ever felt so excited, motivated, but had tears in my eyes at the same time as that few minutes of interviewing him. Amazing.
Oh, can't wait to hear that interview. Now, name a book or a podcast that rewired your soul and tell me why.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm a massive book reader, so there's probably been so many, but I always come down to, you know, one of the first, I guess, books that ever really led me down the path into business and dreaming big was Richard Branson's, I've forgotten what it's even called. What's his first book called?
Like a Virgin?
Yes, Like a Virgin. I think that was he's just a great role model of making it feel really simple and anyone can do it. And that, I guess, what spurred me on.
And there's certainly attributes that you have, so I can see why.
Yes.
Now, this is a good one. If you could see through the eyes of any animal, which one would you pick and why?
Animal. A dolphin came into my head. I need to work out why that came into my head. I feel like probably a dolphin is a really nice, mysterious kind of creature at the same time as has that ability to be able to see underwater and to maybe have a different viewpoint on the world. And I'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, actually dolphin's my pick when I've answered that question to myself, because they seem almost outerworldly, like they're tapped into some like universal life force or something that we don't know about.
Very true.
Now, my final one. Are there any chunks of gold or wisdom that you haven't shared with me in the podcast that you really should?
I feel like I've covered the main ones, but I honestly think that for anybody that hasn't found that purpose yet, I feel like the way to discover purpose is just to go and try absolutely anything and everything. You know, I feel like it's this, you've almost got to be so hungry for new experiences. And that's one thing that I committed to at the age of 16 was I didn't have any passions. I didn't have any hobbies. I hadn't found anything I was particularly, you know, A-class student at. So the commitment I made to myself at 16 was I'm just going to go and try absolutely everything. And eventually I'm bound to find something I liked. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I did. And I'm really happy that I made that commitment to myself, because I guess it fast-tracked my journey and allowed me to kind of find out the things that I didn't like and I wasn't interested in, and then allowed me to find those passions and purposes a lot faster as well.
Mm, such good advice. Now, Liz, I know there would be so many listeners out there who want to learn more about you and your world. Can you share your social media hangouts for our listeners so they can go and follow along?
Absolutely. I mean, definitely follow us at Project Gen Z, and definitely check out the new shop, which is at Dare to Dream Shop with an underscore at the end. And just checking out the website, I mean, for any parents, any teachers out there, definitely head to daretodream.com just for that inspiration, that education, and for a different way of looking at things.
Liz Volpe, you are an absolute joy. I have loved every second of having you on the Decoding Purpose podcast. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast. If you have enjoyed the podcast, please take a moment to leave us a review. That would be greatly appreciated. And we'd also love you to join the Purpose Movement at Instagram by following us at Decoding Purpose Podcast. Also, a big shout out to our sponsors at Supernova Sound.